You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Wednesday, October the 31st. Happy Halloween. Politics can be a scary thing sometimes. Some would say a sexist thing, too. Just ask State Senator Judy Robson, a Democrat from Beloit, who was ousted by her colleagues last week from her position as Senate Majority Leader and was replaced with Russ Decker. Majority of Democrats were apparently upset with how the budget negotiations went and feel Robson gave up too much or wasn't effective enough in reaching the budget compromise. Here's what Judy Robson said about it on Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now program, hosted by Frederica Freiberg.
Now, you were telling me that someone said in this closed caucus meeting where they voted you out as leader that you were too nice.
Yes, they did say that in the earshot of another woman senator, that I was too nice to be a leader. And I said that is a very sexist remark.
So, was that a sexist remark? That Judy Robson was too nice? Did sexism play a role in her ouster as majority leader? We will talk with a former Republican state senator who has some thoughts about this, and we will welcome yours at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Kathy Stepp is our guest. She is a former Republican state senator from Sturtevant. She is currently a blogger for Real Debate Wisconsin. She is currently, besides being a blogger, a wife and a mother of two. She lives in Yorkville near Racine. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's really a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yeah, it is. Thanks a lot for being with us. Your piece that you did for Real Debate Wisconsin was entitled "Leadership Positions in Politics. It's a Guy Thing." Why do you say that?
Well, a number of different reasons. First of all, I just wanted to mention the piece that you just played back of Judy and one of the members' observations of her as being too nice. And maybe it wasn't put in a more constructive way as something that, you know, the other female senator that overheard could maybe use it for her own advantage and one day expanding her career in politics. But I think sometimes women tend to speak in a language that men don't necessarily understand. And I think in order for women to be survivors in leadership positions, whether it's in politics or in the business community, we have to be better communicators with the audience in front of us. And if that happens to be an overwhelming majority of men, well, men think differently than women do. And I think we need to accept that and, you know, change our strategies many times and how we communicate with them to get them to follow.
So, put you on the spot here. Was Judy Robson removed as majority leader because she's a woman or because she wasn't a good enough communicator?
Well, you know, I'm not in their caucus and never have been, so I haven't been privy to the backroom discussions. But my observation of Judy was very similar as it was of my friend Mary Panzer, who was the former Republican majority leader when I was in the Senate. And Mary is a great friend of mine and is also a very nice person. But women tend to pride themselves more on being thoughtful and reflective and pragmatic and sometimes take a little longer to come to decisions and action plans than what men would like to see. And I'm sure you and I would agree that many times that's a good thing. But sometimes it's not. And sometimes it can be seen as counterproductive by men who really measure success in the workplace or wherever they are in realistic, you know, tangible goals. And I think maybe that was more Judy's struggle as it was with Mary. Men don't really want to build bridges and, you know, extend olive branches. They want to win. And if women understand that better, I think we could be in more leadership positions. That's not to say women can't be leaders, because there are women that have great leadership abilities. But how do we put that to best use and make ourselves better known in the political world and business world in those positions is what we're working towards.
Yeah. The legislature is predominantly male.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the profession that I came from before, Joy, was home building. And so that's also predominantly male. And so to be taken seriously as a woman, I had to learn early on that, you know, we have to be better communicators and inspire men to follow us, because they will. Most men that I've met, and I'm in my mid-40s now, so I'm not old by any means, but I'm a little more seasoned, and most of the men I met are happy to follow a woman, whether it's in politics or in business, but we can't, we have to speak in more specifics. We have to be more tangible in what we're trying to go for, and I think then they can respect us and come along willingly. But to stand and wallow and emote and you know, lament because someone was mean to us or called us a bad name isn't going to earn us the kind of respect that we need to get there.
Yeah. There were others that I've talked to, though, on this program. Both of my guests on the Friday Week in Review last Friday both questioned, both one from a conservative viewpoint and one from a more liberal viewpoint, that, that this sexism had to have something to do with this, since Judy Robson isn't the first female leader in the state legislature, as you mentioned, Mary Panzer, to... you know, to not hold that leadership position very long. I mean, do you think it is it sexism?
You know, I think it just depends, Joy, on what the speaker's definition of sexism is. I mean, if we're going to say that all of the male Democrats in the Senate caucus are sexist, I think that's unfair. And it's unique for me to find myself in a position of defending the male Democrats, because I think they're quite able to do that on their own. But I do. I think that's unfair. I think they were probably frustrated by what they saw as a lack of progress, and that they saw too much caving in. While I, as a Republican and conservative person, am happy about that, I'm happier, I guess, than, you know, I would have liked to see a further different budget, but I'm happier that we got more of our way than what was originally intended. They were very unhappy with that, and that I don't think that had anything to do necessarily with her being a woman. We saw that with Dale Schultz. Dale Schultz was the leader in my last couple of years in the legislature. Dale was someone also that many people saw as too soft. You know, this isn't just a hardcore mold that every man and woman fits in. There's always exceptions. And I think whenever you see the world, like politics especially, it's very competitive, and people really want to win. And I will tell you who is the artist of that, and that was Chuck Kowala. And I know most of your listeners are familiar with him, and I came to be familiar with him, certainly. And Chuck was always ready on the battlefield, which was the Senate floor. He always had a plan, and he never wanted to concede anything. He was a fighter, and people respected that about him, and some of them even feared him slightly. I'm not advocating fear tactics, and I'm certainly not advocating many of the tactics he took, which got him in trouble down the road. But just to use him as an example, as someone that was able to communicate to his caucus in a way that that inspired people to follow.
We're talking with Kathy Stepp, former Republican state senator and now a blogger for Real Debate Wisconsin. We're talking about a recent blog entitled A Leadership Position in Politics, It's a Guy Thing. She says that she has noticed a difference in how many men and women lead in the legislature, and she says women need to play to win. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will talk with the co-authors of Common Ground, How to Stop the Partisan War That's Destroying America. We'll talk with conservative Cal Thomas and liberal Bob Beckel. They are also co-authors of a Common Ground column in USA Today, and we'll hear what they say is the problem and the solution. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we're talking about women and men and politics and the difference in how men and women play in politics, and wondering if there was any sexism involved in the ouster of Senate Majority Leader Judy Robson by her fellow Democrats recently. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And our first caller for Kathy Stepp, a former state lawmaker And currently a blogger who wrote about this is Joe in Madison. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I'm actually kind of shocked at what I'm hearing here. I think we're engaging in really gross generalizations about how people communicate, number one. And number two, I think that if we're worried about sexism, I'm worried about it in what I'm hearing right on this show right now. I think that to say that men communicate based on wanting to win and women emote and curl up and die is really sexist. And I think that that's really part of the problem. I mean, what we need now is more strong women who bring an ability to communicate and to build bridges and to create connections and forge unity, and less of the construction site bravado of a bunch of, oftentimes ignoramuses who are just interested in, you know, the fire-ready aim approach to life. That's all I have to say.
Kathy Stepp?
Yeah, Joe, you know, I'm not saying that women emote and curl up into a ball and disappear. In fact, that's not what happens. What's unfortunate that I see as a woman and trying to advocate for women is that we don't need to do that. We can be very good communicators by letting our sensitive side show and still earn respect for that, but we can't continue to just jump up and down and complain about something and not give real, actual practical ideas on how to solve a problem, because men are bored with that. They say, okay, men are fixers by nature, and certainly I'm making blanket statements here just from my own observations, and what I've seen is that most men are that way. They want to solve a problem. In my blog post, I talk about how, you know, when you get home from work at night and your wife is going on and on and on about a problem that she's having, and most men want to jump right in and say, well, here's what you need to do to fix it, and they want to give her step-by-step approaches on how to solve the problem. Well, sometimes women, as a woman I know, sometimes I don't want a solution. I know how to fix it. I just want someone to hear me complain about it for a while. And so what I'm trying to effectively say to women that are in the business world and trying to get ahead and in the political world as well is that be careful that we don't carry that over from home to the workplace, because men have to deal with that when they get home, and they don't have the patience like we do typically to sit there and listen to the emotion and the banter and the jumping up and down complaining, why isn't this different? They say, let's make it different and come up with a plan to make it so, and then they will support us in doing it.
Thanks, Joe, for the call. Tim in Reidsville is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. One of the statements that was made, or the statement that was made as an example of why Senator Robson felt this is sexist, her conveyance of it is the sexist part of it. When she said, I was too nice, meaning that, and then she believes that that is sexist. Well, basically what she's saying is that men couldn't possibly be considered nice. what she's saying is that the nice factor could only apply to women. And I think that's the sexist part of the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I guess I interpreted that, and it wasn't the full interview, is that she was ousted because she was too nice, and that is what she considers sexist.
But isn't that interesting that was his perception of it, mm-hmm. Joy? Because you and I as a woman didn't hear that. But some men out there will hear that and say, well, wait a minute, that mm-hmm. offends me, because I'm a nice guy, and why is it only a trait that's beholden to women somehow that we have ownership over being nice in the world? And I find that really interesting that a male caller we call in with that observation. And this is what we as women have to be dialed into, is what do men hear when we say something? How is it that we're connecting? Apparently Judy didn't connect appropriately, or maybe in the way that she meant to, with this caller. And I find that fascinating. As a woman studying the behavior of other women in the workplace, he's just kind of making my point that sometimes we don't connect with the people we need to.
Yeah, and didn't you point out that a male leader was ousted because he was considered too nice?
Considered weak.
Weak.
And I think sometimes that's what... That's the only reason, Joy, people get kicked out of leadership positions. It's not because they're a woman. It's not because they're too nice, necessarily. And sometimes I think what maybe someone meant to say is that she was weak. They perceived mm-hmm. her that way. And people will not follow weakness. That's just human nature. We want someone who is a shining beacon, who has the abilities to articulate, who is unafraid and will go out and charge forward to make a case for whatever it is that we're following them for. That's what we respect. And so, as a rule, women need to become a little more, you know, stronger in appearance. And I'm not saying to be offensive, but I'm saying, you know, we can't show so much weakness and emotion and I don't know what other word to use for it, but I think you're kind of getting what I'm talking about.
Tim, thanks for the call. Kay in Madison is with us. Hi, Kay. Kay, hello. Well, I'm sorry, Kay, that you're not there. You had an interesting comment, but we'll go on to Dennis in Beloit. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I found the action by that Democratic caucus to be very impetuous in removing Judy from her leadership. And to me, regardless of one sex, it has to do with integrity. I think there was an agenda that they wanted someone who wanted to support a different agenda. And I think integrity, to me, is the real issue. And I admire Judy greatly for her integrity. And there are men who do value compromise and integrity. I feel what the Democrats have done is they've suppressed their own vote totals the next time, because it just gives some indifferent potential voters reason not to vote. That's not my case, but there some people just say, well, this is just business as usual, and what's the difference? One thing I will comment, however, is I do feel, were Judy a man, they would not have removed her at this time. They would have waited till they generally make such decisions in January. And I think it was insulting to the majority leader to have that action taken at this time, given her proven record of integrity. Thank you.
Reaction, Kathy Stemp?
Oh, I've got a lot of reaction to that. I actually disagree on a couple of levels, not on that Judy's a nice gal and, you know, et cetera, what he was just saying, and that he likes her very much. She's very likable. But I do disagree that had she been a man, they would not have removed her. I've seen a lot. Politics is hardball, and you make very few friends in that business, and it's unfortunate, and it was really an eye-opener for me because, again, coming from no political background, I was really stunned to see that. So it's very different in that regard from the private sector, where you can build loyalties. But it's very, very difficult to do that under the dome. And the same thing happened. I mean, this has happened before. Mike Ellis was thrown out as a Republican leader for the men and the Republicans years ago. Dale Schultz was tossed out. This doesn't have anything to do necessarily with Judy being a woman. It has to do with the perceived weakness that she had in her role. And so, again, I find myself in a unique position of defending the male Democrats in the Senate, but, you know, some of them are my friends, and I just never saw sexism being portrayed from any of those guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Dennis. Kyle in Madison is with us now. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. I think that this sort of Mars-Venus approach to leadership is a little bit too simplistic. It turns out that if you look at it in kind of Myers-Briggs categories, two-thirds of men are thinker-doers, they call them, meaning they operate according to an external standard, let's say the bullet list of tasks that we want to accomplish, and they're doers in that they, as your guest has suggested, go after that bullet list without, you know, with less regard for the people around them than for accomplishing the task at hand. But that's two-thirds, not even 50%, not everybody. And it turns out that two-thirds of women, and therefore one-third of men, are feeler-talkers, the kind of person your guest is talking about, who wants to build consensus and come to a conclusion that everybody can support, rather than look at this as a war without weapons.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily gender, Kathy Stepp. It's the style.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And your caller makes some great points. He's talking about overall population of men and women. I'm talking about the men and women who put themselves out there to be in politics. And sometimes that takes a different type of personality, whether you're a man or a woman. I mean, it absolutely does take a different personality. You have to be much more of a go-getter, if you will, or more of a, for lack of a better word, aggressive type personality, you know, more of a type A personality, I guess, a doer. And so you have to, I think, be more of that by trait anyway and have more of that in you, whether you're man or woman. But I will tell you that the men that I have met in politics are not men who are the typical, or let's say not typical, the one-third of the male makeup you're talking about that aren't the bullet list guys. These are guys that get involved in something to make a difference, and if they don't see a difference happening, they get very frustrated early on with that, and then they kick out the person who isn't getting it done. And that's the world of politics. But if we're talking about the population at large, certainly that's a different sampling.
Yeah. Thank you, Kyle. Bob in Burlington. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Joy. Thank you very much for taking my call. Kathy, I just the comment about this whole thing that I would have is that it seems to me that Senator Robson has now found a new type of card to play. Instead of the race card, which she might have played if she were of a different race, she's now playing the sexist card. I get really tired of hearing all these guys making excuses. She apparently did not deliver what the Democrats wanted her to, and as a result, she's gone. And I don't think it would have made a difference if, whether she were male or female. She's just using an excuse that, oh, woe is me. I'm a female, so they're picking on me.
And I hope she doesn't do that for too long, because I do think it detracts from all women in all who strive to be in leadership positions. Because, yeah, we have to take a look inward sometimes when we are tossed out of something and say, well, what could I have done differently? Where did I fail? Instead of looking outwardly and saying, who's picking on me? And it kind of feeds into, again, what I talked about in my blog posting is, while we sit back and emote and we wallow, men are moving on, and they don't sit back and feel badly about things for very long. They keep making strides forward, and you will see men do that in their own careers. They'll fix it, pick up, and move along. And that's what we need to do better as women if we're going to survive out there and be able to be considered for those types of positions.
Well, Kathy Stepp, we're out of time. I thank you for joining us, and I hope we can talk again sometime.
Thanks, Joy.
Kathy Stepp, former Republican state senator. She is a blogger for Real Debate Wisconsin. You can probably read this piece. The website address is realdebatewisconsin, all one word, .blogspot.com. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.